this particular time of the year, the month of Shravan, is perhaps the most popular time of the year for devotees to visit the holy abode of Vrindavan, where each and every temple is so beautifully decorated to celebrate that auspicious festival of Julan Yatra. In the festival of Radha Govinda in Vrindavan was manifested the ultimate sweetness and beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vaikuntha, in Mathura, in Dwarka, various aspects of the Supreme Godhead reside. And there they are worshipped in pure, unalloyed love. But that love is in the mood of Aishwarya, a mood where the prominent feature of our relationship is that Krishna and his goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the supreme master of our lives, and we are their eternal servants. The greatness, the power, the majesty of Godhead prevails over all other experiences within one's heart. But in Vrindavan, the beauty, the sweetness, the intimacy of Radha and Krishna's suprememost nature is always prominent. And therefore the great acharyas have realized and explained us with all the authority of the scriptures that Vrindavan is the supreme of all abodes of the Lord. And it is entrance into this divine abode of Vrindavan that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give everyone who accepts the wonderful process of following in the footsteps of his most empowered servants in the disciplic succession, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. In this material world, Lord Chaitanya taught us, there are endless allurements through material nature. Maya is very powerful, and she is, birth after birth, keeping the consciousness of all of us entrenched in the illusion that we can find happiness through our body and through our mind. And due to the pursuit of such happiness, we forget our real purpose of existence, to love Krishna and to serve Krishna. We forget the very heritage of our own eternal soul. And it is this identification with this body which the scriptures explain to be a combination of material elements which, when separated from one another, are quite abominable. We all have that experience when there's a disease or when we evacuate. This is the machine when some of the elements are separated from themselves. And we become so much absorbed in trying to make this body attractive in order to attract others so that we can enjoy them, either on the subtle or gross platform. And this is the basic principle of all material bondage, matunga agara, the shackles of this attraction between different bodies. We are attracted to someone, and we want to attract that person so that we can enjoy the pleasures of each other's physical bodies. Some sensuous enjoyment takes place, but the soul is starving and frustrated and all alone without Krishna. And the more we try to become successful in the process of material enjoyment, the further we become away from Krishna, the Lord of our hearts, the goal of our lives. So success in material society directly takes us further and further away from the real success of human life. But yet, the propaganda is so strong. Everyone around us, from our near and dear ones to the whole society, are constantly bombarding us with the idea that life is meant to enjoy. Even, I remember one devotee, he became a devotee, and his mother and father, they were very materialistic, but very open-minded. I think what I'm about to tell you may sound familiar. And when the person became a devotee and left behind all material pursuits, the parents said, if you are enjoying your life by being a devotee, then we're happy, as long as you are enjoying. So this is the conception of even the most pious people, that life is meant for enjoyment. Somehow or other, enjoy. But the scriptures explain, tapo divyam putra kayena satvam sudyajasyam brahma sokyam tvanantam, that human life is meant for tapasya, because it is in tapasya that there is real enjoyment. Not physical or mental, but spiritual enjoyment. But in order to achieve entrance into that eternal spiritual enjoyment, the enjoyment of the Atma or the soul, we must perform tapasya. This means we must somehow or other discipline our mind and discipline our senses, discipline our life in such a way that they do not fall victim to the allurements of sense gratification, but rather they are engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. And the process, tani saravani samyamyaya yukta asitamatpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita, we must somehow restrain our senses. Yama in niyama, we follow these regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, from restraining our senses from useless activities that simply waste our human existence with our body, our mind, and our words. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to control one's speech is very difficult, because we have too much tendency to talk whatever our egoistic mind wants to say. And if we're intelligent, we regret when we speak material subject matter, in propaganda of our own glories, against others. But if we are not so sincere, if we are not so intelligent, we actually take pleasure in our own uncontrolled urge to speak. So Thakur Bhaktivinod has explained the teachings of the previous acharyas in a very simple and succinct manner, that if somehow you can control your tongue, you could realize the supreme perfection. And that comes by not criticizing others and by not glorifying yourself. It comes by praising others who are worthy of praise, devotees, by revealing oneself as being a humble servant of such honorable Vaishnavas, and by always chanting the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and especially by chanting their holy names. And this is a very difficult austerity, because we have so many tendencies. And also, the tongue has the tendency to want to taste foodstuffs. We should only taste those foodstuffs. Discipline that have been offered to Krishna in a proper devotional way, as prescribed by the great spiritual masters. If we perform this austerity, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then it is very, very much within our means to utilize our mind and our bodies also, always to be for the pleasure of Krishna. So in the material or neophyte condition of Krishna consciousness, we require a constant opportunity for exciting ways to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And therefore these wonderful festivals are most essential in our lives, because they are so attractive, they are so pleasing to our hearts, that they make it natural and wonderful to be Krishna conscious. These festivals make tapasya into the most beautiful, enjoyable endeavor in all the world, because these festivals allow us to fix our mind in the beautiful, variegated aspects of Krishna's wonderful pastimes, his appearance, his lifting of Govardhan Hill, his appearance as the various avatars, then there is the Holi festival. There is the Basant Panchami festival. There is the Julan Yatra festival. There is the Rati Yatra festival. So many festivals. Almost every day there can be a festival in celebration of the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And by hearing and concentrating our minds and experiencing these wonderful facilities that Krishna gives us to meditate upon Him with, we become purified. We experience a higher taste. Also during these festivals, it brings devotees together to develop deeper friendships and deeper commitment to one another to serve the Lord and our spiritual masters. So these festivals are very, very important. Today we are celebrating the beautiful festival of Sri Jhulan Yatra of Radha Govinda. It takes place during the rainy season, a season that is so beautiful in Vrindavan. The scriptures explains how beautiful, beautiful blackish clouds form in the sky. And in the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, these clouds very, very much resemble the complexion of Sri Krishna. They appear to be reflecting the beauty of Sri Krishna's eternal form. And wherever you look, you see the beauty of Shamsundar. And through these most merciful and beautiful manifestation of clouds, Krishna's Ghanshyam, which means he has the complexion of beautiful rain clouds. But actually, the rain clouds have the complexion of Krishna. But this is the loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees. Krishna wants to give all credit to his devotees, and his devotees want to give credits to the clouds. Understand, in Vrindavan, every cloud is a pure, unalloyed devotee who has come just to manifest something wonderful as an offering to Krishna. This is the nature of Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, in one prayer, he explains that, I do not care if there's no Krishna. I do not care if there's no Radharani. I do not care if there's no Sakis and Manjaris and Gopas and Gopis. Just one little tiny plant of Vrindavan is so supremely auspicious that that alone can fulfill all my spiritual desires. This is Vrindavan. So every cloud, as they are forming Krishna's Ghanshyam, he gives credit that I am like a cloud, but the clouds are glorifying that we are Shyam, we are just like Krishna in our beautiful complexion. And Krishna bestows his mercy upon the clouds by his loving glance, and they reciprocate by showering beautiful rains. Not like the rains in Bombay. Dirty, acid rains that make everything messy and dirty and bring mud into your homes and everyone's running away, causing floods and sewage pipes to overflood and everything. But in Vrindavan, the rains are so wonderful that they simply refresh everyone and everything. They are so nice that they can go on you, the raindrops, and they refresh you, but if you don't want to be wet, they will not make you wet. This is Vrindavan. If you want to be wet, they will make you wet. But they are simply pleasing. pleasing all of the devotees so that they become more and more in a sweet mood to please Krishna. So during this wonderful rainy season, where the clouds have formed so wonderfully in the sky and the rain is so gently and sweetly bringing, when the raindrops hit the flowers are so much loving the offering of the raindrops that they reciprocate by blossoming bigger and more fragrant than before. And every blade of grass and every tree. So during the season, everything is so blossom, blooming and fragrant in all directions. And at that time, the devotees of Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, especially headed by the most confidential associates of Sri Radharani and Lord Govinda, they arrange under the direction of Brinda Devi beautiful, beautiful jhulan or swing for Radha and Krishna to enjoy together upon. And there are unlimited ways in which Radha Govinda enjoy their jhulan yatra. Sometimes they make a swing shaped like a lotus flower where Radha and Krishna sit in the middle and the eight sakis and the principal mandaris and everyone sit on the same swing and then gopis make that go. And sometimes Radha and Krishna sit together on the swing. And sometimes Radharani puts her friends on the swing and pushes it, because she wants everyone to enjoy the wonderful, loving emotion or devotion of being with Krishna. But generally, when we think of jhulan yatra, Radha Krishna sit on the beautiful swing, which is so wonderfully decorated by their confidential associates, decorated in such a way that all of the wealth and opulences of the world could never compare. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Swarup Damodar Goswami explains that the opulence of even the smallest plant, flower, or braid of grass, or even the opulence of one grain of dust from Brajbhumi, is more valuable than all of the wealth of Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha. What to speak of the temporary manifestations within this world. So the swings of Radha and Krishna are decorated with the beautiful flowers and leaves and creepers of Braja. And as they sit together, enjoying the company of one another, all of the devotees find supreme satisfaction in seeing Radha and Krishna enjoying together. That is the ultimate satisfaction of all the pure liberated souls of Vrindavan. They do not want anything for themselves. They only want to somehow or other, in any way possible, be of some assistance to the beautiful, pleasurable pastimes enjoyed between Radha and Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Savai pung shang paro dharamo yato bhaktir dhoksha jai, ahoitiki aprati hatha jajatma suprasidati. that the supreme occupation for all humanity is that service to the Lord which is free of any motivation, material motivation, or any interruption. And until we come to this platform of completely purified consciousness, we cannot really, truly appreciate this wonderful spirit of love that takes place in Vrindavan Dham. But still, by the mercy of the great acharyas, they have given us the opportunity to actually take part in these wonderful pastimes, even in the particular condition of consciousness that we are in today. This evening we have seen Radha Govinda on their beautiful swing, and each of us have had a chance with our own hands to pull the swing and create a wonderful atmosphere for them to enjoy. And other devotees had the fortune of decorating the swing as beautiful as they possibly could with all their creative abilities, with flowers and feathers of the peacocks and leaves. And others, they cooked wonderful, wonderful bhoga for Radha and Krishna to enjoy during their swing festival. And others, devotees, they've come together, and during this whole wonderful pastime, they're singing beautiful kirtan and dancing to enhance the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. This is our life. By celebrating these wonderful festivals under the proper guidance of proper spiritual masters, we can gradually develop such an attraction for Radha Govinda that our entanglements in this material existence gradually vanish. That is the perfection of life. But by attending these festivals without proper philosophical direction, without proper training in sadhana, without proper understanding of our own fallen condition, then it simply becomes a form of entertainment. But the purification that is actually the purpose behind it is lost. So at this time in Vrindavan, millions and millions and millions of people are coming to see Radha Govinda on their swing. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Vrindavan has entered into practically every city in the world. In places like London, Nairobi, Moscow, Bosnia, Croatia. In Bosnia and Croatia there's big wars now. But there are also Hare Krishnas. Whereas the bombs are going and people are dying, the devotees are swinging Radha Krishna and their jhulan with beautiful flowers and sweet bhajans. South Africa, Durban, China, even the Chinese devotees in Peking and these places, Tonight they're swinging Radha and Krishna and Arjuna. Hong Kong, Taiwan, Korea, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. As we are speaking tonight, throughout the entire world, people are celebrating this wonderful festival. So we can understand what kind of empowered compassion Srila Prabhupada had to the world. He did not leave Vrindavan in 1965, but he brought Vrindavan to the entire planet. He gave everyone the opportunity to enter the wonderful Leela of Radha Govinda. And he taught us the proper way of life by which we can deeply become purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Through attentively chanting the Maha Mantra every day, by following the four regulative principles, and by developing the mood of being the sincere and humble servant of the Lord. You see, there is a beautiful painting across from me, Radha and Krishna, Julan Yatra. Everyone is simply in the mood of servant. No one has the tinge of desire for their own enjoyment. They all simply exist for the enjoyment of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So this process which we follow within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the authorized process of gradually developing this spiritual attitude. Not wanting to enjoy Radha Govinda, but gradually developing such a prideless, materially desireless state that our existence is simply at every moment for the rest of eternity being offered for the pleasure of Radha Govinda and their most beloved devotees. Haribol. So at this time, for the pleasure of Radha Gopinathji, we will all celebrate the beautiful swing festival. Maybe one devotee, Devamrit, you can swing, and everyone else can come forward. Just 1 second. Sri Radha Gopinath ki.